Morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How you like this coat? Cool. Good. Feels good, doesn't it? Yeah, wake us up. Wake us up. Have to get up and warm the car up this morning. Do you love God is what I want to know. Do you really love him? Let's sing it like we mean that we really love the Lord. I really love the Yes, I really love the. Come on, sing it with me. And you don't know what. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love. The Lord, he watches over me, and he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me, and you don't know what he's done. Oh, yes, he gave. Thank you, Father. And that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave. Thank you, Lord. And that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love. Sing it one more time. And you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me love. Oh, you sound good. And that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love. Oh, you can sing. Amen, 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 amen. If you're visiting with us here this morning at the Fifth Ward Church, we are so glad that you made the choice to be with us, to visit with us this morning. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you. Hopefully you'll stay with us for just a few moments and allow the Lord to speak to you this morning. If you have a prayer request, if you need to talk to someone, if you'll call the number on your screen, we'd be glad to minister with you, minister to you, pray with you, pray for you. More than that, we would absolutely love to see you at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. If you're watching this, I know you're not too far because our audience is not too far in Houston, a little bit out of Houston. So when you get the first opportunity, you please come because you can watch us on television, but it's another thing to be in the place. Isn't that right, church? Amen. 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 We started a lesson series a couple of 3 weeks ago entitled the God's Power 2 series. God's Power 2 series. And if you know anything about tools, it's hard to do work when you don't have the right tools. Oh, have mercy. You can make work so hard. Notice this. Then you can have the wrong tool. You can have a tool, but it's the wrong tool. You're using it the wrong way. Then you can have the right tool, but I didn't bring my power drill this morning. But when you have a power tool, see, if you are going to be doing a job and you know you're going to be doing it, you know you need this tool, and you have a power tool, it'll help you get the job done much better, much more efficiently. You can do it faster. You can do it with more impact. And that's what we're trying to expound on as we go through these series of lessons. And primarily, see, God's power tools are for God's people. Are for God's children. And sometimes we seem like we're living lives without God's power. I may be wrong, but I know sometimes in my life, sometimes I despair over things I know I shouldn't be despairing over. I know God is able to help us through every situation. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of what? Power." And so God didn't give us this anxiety. God didn't give us this timidity. God gave us the spirit of power. And we got to tap into this power. That's what we've been trying to stress this during this series. And I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you will. 1 Thessalonians. Everybody's all right this morning? God is good. Let's study this particular text. And that some people might call this a funeral text. But it's not this morning. Hopefully it's not this morning. But then again, it might be. Because we just never ever know, do we? But I want to elaborate on it. And I want to just examine 3 points out of this particular text in 1 Thessalonians. It's obvious from this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to particularly the church at Thessalonica, that they were apparently disturbed, not just about this, but this is one of the topics that he elaborated on and wrote about. They were apparently disturbed about what happened to their loved ones who had died. And it seems that they knew that these loved ones were in Christ, but there's speculation. And even today, there's a lot of speculation about what happens in death. You can tell because you turn on the television, there are a lot of television programs that deal with death in odd kinds of ways. Some of them are the most popular. You know, one of the most popular shows on TV is The Walking Dead. Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I want to see. Raise your hand if you've ever watched the show The Walking Dead. Raise your hand. Don't be shady. Right? My daughter, I've watched it a couple of times, but I haven't had the time to watch my daughter told me, she said, "Daddy, you got to watch The Walking Dead." I said, "Girl, I know what it did. I know, you know." She said, "No, Daddy, it's not like that. You just need to watch it." And I watched it one time, and it is intriguing, but it's not the truth. Did I bust somebody's bubble this morning? Yeah, a Breaking Dawn. Pictures about Dracula and vampires and folks rising from the dead. There's a show that comes on called The Supernatural. And it's very intriguing. But you know, let's go to the Bible. And I want this lesson in particular because it should empower the Christian. Because death is something that you just, I don't care how it happens every day. But it's something that people don't like to talk about, something that people have shied away from, something that we don't want to put in our mind, but guess what is coming? But there is a perspective that Christians ought to have, that it ought to empower us not to be afraid of death. Amen. Lord help us, Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But we do not want you to be uninformed. I'm going to read from two translations, New American Standard and the King James, kind of interchangeably a little bit. Want you to be uninformed, and the word uninformed means ignorant. Ignorant. King James translation would say ignorant. Most times we don't like that word. If somebody calls you ignorant, what are they saying? Mm-hmm. Some of you say, some of us, when somebody calls us ignorant, you think they think you're stupid. And we don't like that word either. Now, notice Apostle Paul used this word quite often in his letters. And he says to the Thessalonians, I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant is not bliss. Ignorant, you are unaware. What you don't know can hurt you. He go in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, Romans 10, 3, listen to what he says to the Romans. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of, there is, you can think you know something and it's ignorant and it's wrong. It's against God's will, and you can be doing it so hard. You can be doing it just like you are sincere, but you can still be not pleasing to God. And you know, sometimes in church, especially in religion, there are those who say, you know, but everybody come go to God. They worship God the way they want to worship. People do what they want. Leave people alone. Well, if it's not in the word, it's you are doing it ignorantly. Amen. Notice there is a willful ignorance. There is a willful ignorance that you just going to do it your way. Don't care what. And then there is that also some folks are worshiping, doing things ignorantly, and they don't even know that they are. That's why, Lord have mercy, I try my best to open God. I don't want you to think Brother Gary has this philosophy. He's smart because he's gone to grad school. I want you to see God's word, what God is saying to us. And that should make a difference. It ought to make your ears perk up when you hear God say something, because we're trying to be under his righteousness. Listen to what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, using this word. I don't have time to read them all. 1 Corinthians 10, 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Read the rest on your own. He wrote to the Corinthians, he said, but I don't want you to be ignorant of your kinfolk who lived a long time ago. And he went down to tell what some of the mistakes that they made. And he says, I'm writing this as an example to you so you don't make the same mistakes. Yeah. Some of us would do well as parents, as grandparents, to sit down and tell our children and our grandchildren some of the things, some of the mistakes that we made. Hello, somebody. I'm not saying tell them all of them. They might couldn't handle that. But you can tell them some of the mistakes you made. Baby, I know about this one right here. And I'm telling you, this is not a road that you need to go on down this road. Now, I'm telling you, now I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. You see, something you can tell what you know. Now, I'll give you one. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. And I tell you one, if you're older, let's say you started smoking when you were 13, 14 years old. You started smoking then. You say what you will or may. Now, you're talking to your children and your grandchildren. Now, do you want your children and your grandchildren to smoke too? Smoking a sin. Do you want them to smoke? Well, you know, you'd be good if you know you smoked and you maybe still smoking, and that's, and you know, you struggling with that. You want to stop, but you can't stop, and you sit down and say, look, son, I heard your mama told me that they caught you smoking some cigarette. Is that true? Well, I just did it one time. Well, let me tell you something. You need to leave them some cigarettes alone. Oh, but you know, everybody want to try something. Look, I tried it. I'm still doing it. And you know what it's doing to me right now. Now, I'm not, listen, there are some things that Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Because there are some people who walk to the grave in ignorance. Notice this, and somebody could have helped them if they would just sit down and talk to them and tell them. See, some of our children, we know the reason why they don't listen to you, because you make trying to make it act like you haven't ever made a mistake. Hey, amen. That's not, let me get back to my lesson. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed. See, knowledge empowers. Knowledge empowers. Paul understood that. He says, brethren. And so I'll hit that in the end. About those who are asleep. He uses the word asleep. And when the scripture uses the word asleep, this is the first point. The scripture uses the word asleep. It refers to the Christians who are asleep, and it uses the term only to talking about the body in death. He says asleep. It's the same. It's related closely to our physical sleep, very closely to our physical sleep. He says about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. See, in John chapter 11, verse 11, you remember when Lazarus died? And the Bible says, this he said, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I go say that so that I will awaken him out of sleep. He's not talking about his physical sleep, but the sleep in this sleep is talking about our body is dead. Our body is asleep. But just like our physical sleep, the soul is not sleep, just the body. The body is dead, but the soul, yet yeah, that's like when you are sleeping in your bed. Some of us are knocked out to the world. Don't know what's happening around us. We are knocked out. But guess what? Your soul is still living while you are sleeping in that bed. The soul is not dead in your physical. And in when you physically die, the body is dead, but the soul still yet lives. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who are asleep. Though it seems like it's a lot of mystery, and we come to funerals and we see this body and this casket lying here, and we cry a bit of tears because mama is gone, daddy is gone, cousin is gone, and you see that body. But know this, that's just a physical body. Amen. But the spirit, the soul yet lives. Yes, Lord have mercy. Notice this. As the sleep of the body is temporary, so shall the death of the human body. No. And when you read the scripture, it comes alive to you. Now, you know, like when you're sleeping in the bed and you are knocked out sound asleep. The alarm clock goes off, or some of us just automatically, we get up. Then the body comes back alive. Yes. Yes. Somehow some of us slept last night. You didn't know you were going to get up, but you got up. Your body is moving around. Notice this. Paul says, I want you to not be unaware, but when you die, your body dies. Some of us go to the cemetery. Some folks cremate and put the ashes somewhere. That's still a physical body, but you haven't burned up the spirit yet. Amen, somebody? Notice this. It says, so the death of the human body also is temporary according to the scriptures. The body will be raised from the dead. And notice, even, well, Gary, all the Christians going to be raised, the Christians going to be raised, and the wicked going to be raised also. According to the scripture, you better show that to me, Brother Gear. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. 1 Corinthians 15, 42. I'm trying to through the word of God, to empower us to absolutely not guess about this, not be ignorant about this, and stop. You watch these movies for entertainment purposes only. 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. I wish I had time. Your homework, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, on down through all through the resurrection, to read about it. Read about it on your own. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Remember, the body is dead. The spirit, yet it is sown a perishable body. You know, farmers, you know, you plant, you sow the seeds. How do you sow the seeds? You don't stick them on top of the ground. They're buried in the ground. So they are sown, the body is sown a perishable body. We were at a funeral in East Texas on yesterday. It's Sister Georgetta Barnett's brother's funeral, my cousin. And they buried his body in one of the country cemeteries. Yeah, we were down by the red dirt. And they asked all the brothers. All the brothers, they had grabbed a strap, and they lowered DeWitt Andrews down into the ground. Yeah. And it was sad because, you know, it was sad. But it was happy. Yeah, it was happy. Because DeWitt died in the Lord. Now that's a big difference in that. Oh, have mercy. Now, some of you maybe that's visiting here, it's so wonderful. And we have funerals literally every week somewhere, somebody in this body. And Brooke, why are you talking gloom or doom? It's reality. It just is. And somebody in this body this week will get a call of somebody passed away. Notice that I said somebody. It might be one of us in here right now. You don't need to be talking like that. Listen, you understand what the scripture is saying. DeWitt died in the Lord. And you know what? DeWitt, one of his cousins got up and made a statement. He said, I talk, and you know, you don't disclose everything, but somebody that's close to you, he says, I talked to DeWitt about a week before, and he wasn't one to complain. He was a great man of God, family man, wasn't one to complain. Did a lot of things for a lot of people, quietly did a lot of things for a whole lot of people. And he said, he called us, he said, look, don't tell everybody. He didn't want you to worry about it. Don't tell everybody. And he said, I'm very sick. He said, but I'm also sick and tired of being sick. Yeah. He said, I'm sick and tired of being sick. I'm not that old, but you know, at the old I get, you know, and I hope when I get, if Lord says I might go tomorrow, but I hope I can have an attitude, you know, especially if I get so down, and you know, sometimes these bodies, boy, they will make you want some relief. And he was so sick. And he says, I'm sick. He said, one thing about this, I'm sick. But I'm ready to meet God. No, when you can say that. And when I was young, I'm just so thank the Lord to allow me to live long enough to appreciate the Lord. When I was young, at the teenage, I didn't want to hear sermons like this. I might be some kids, some teenagers, but here, you preach about something, and now you need to hear this morning. Even though you're young, don't you watch the news? Another young man we buried this weekend, he was a teenager. But it was a whole different situation. Yeah, and so when the body is, it says, it also is a resurrection of the dead. It's sown a perishable body. And they, you know, they dress you up and they put makeup on you. And they try to make you look good, put a suit on you, put a dress on you. But the Bible says, we come from the dust, and the dust you shall return. And that scripture, you don't have to go to church to know that you're going back to the dust. Amen, somebody. NASA researchers, they did this research on dirt. They studied all different kinds of dirt. They come up with this big conclusion, this big results of their study to find out every element of the human body can be found in the dirt. Guess what? Hello. God said that a long time ago. We come from the dust, and the dust we shall return. Amen, somebody. Yeah, and so the Bible says we are sown perishable. Then it says it's raised an imperishable body. The body sleeps in death, but when we're raised up, we get a new body. Everybody say new. Do you like new? Yeah. And somebody said, no, girl, I like old. No, you might like old, but you want old new. Yeah. See, I like them old cars. You like an old, raggedy, rusty car? No, even if it's old, you want it fixed up and shined up and printed up. I'm going to tell you, I want new. Yes. Yes, sir. I need some new knees. Yes, I do. Yeah. It looks like I'm walking okay up here, don't it? I'm walking pretty good. I'm telling you, my knees hurt. Some of you brothers, you can relate. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, doc told me, see, I had that little knee surgery. He said, this will help you for a little while, but he said, you bone on bone right now. I said, bone on bone. And now I know what he's talking about. Imperishable. What does imperishable mean? Won't decay. Yeah. Can you imagine? Some of us can't imagine not taking pills. John chapter 5, verse 28. John 5, 28. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. I want you to hear these words from the scripture. I said the righteous and the evil will be raised. He says everybody in the tombs will hear and will come forth. Those who did good deeds to the resurrection of life. Those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Yeah. So when you watch these TV shows, you know, when you watch these movies, you just get your Bible and say, that's not right. That's not right. That's sensationalizing. That's not the truth. And if you like it, enjoy it, hey, laugh at it. Say, you know, it's a good thing. You got a good plot to it. They didn't get that from the Bible, though. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And so it should empower us to absolutely know. I wish I had time. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. I want you to see who this is written to, this resurrection of life, this empowerment. I want you to make any mistake about it because I'm going to extend the invitation in just a moment. And I want to give you an opportunity to have access to this power. So not if, but when your loved one die, when your friend, when your mother, when your father, when your sister, when your brother die. You know what's happening. And it would help us as Christians. It should empower us to try to introduce more people to God before they die. Amen. It would give us a sense of urgency. At the funeral on yesterday, the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, makes this statement. He said, it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, if you don't know God's word, that does not make any sense. Anyway, what you telling me? It's better for me to go to a funeral than to go to a party? Yes, absolutely. That's what he's saying. Why? Because if you don't, at a funeral, if you don't, you got any sense, you're going to say, well, you know what? Is that going to happen to me? I'm going that way also. It ought to make you say, you know what? What happens after death? What should I be preparing? Should I be wasting my life? Am I taking life seriously? What's my purpose? Why am I really here? Why am I working so hard on this career? Why am I trying? My primary goal is to buy a car. And if I die before I get the car. See, some of us, we live lives. We are so wound up right now because you are trying to get a boyfriend. Or a girlfriend, or you are trying to get this promotion on this job. And if you keep life in perspective, it'll help your blood pressure and everything to understand what's really important. And that is your relationship with God, because God is going to be the judge when we stand before him. And so this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, to the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be to you. This is how he started the letter off, and that's why he said to the church. Now, if you don't know what the church is, if you're not in the church, then this letter is not intended. And so, see, notice this. We're talking about God's power tools. They're for Christians. The disciples, the followers were called Christians first at Antioch. If you're a follower of God. And so when we extend the invitation and Jesus came to this earth and he died on the cross for our sins, and you have not responded to that great, the greatest sacrifice that ever could been made. You have not responded to his love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, God wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to go to heaven. He wants to give everybody this imperishable body. Everybody. And everybody would have an opportunity. You have the opportunity right now because you are hearing his word. You can never ever say that you have never got the opportunity to be saved, eternally saved.
Yeah.
And he says, he wrote to the church. He comes back and gives it. He says, y'all worrying about what happened to your loved ones after you die. He says, they're really not dead like you think they're dead. Their body is dead, but the body is going to be raised up. Now, some of you might know, you like me, and when I start reading this, I like to know all the details. And I'm like, what kind of bodies are we going to have? Oh, I don't have time. Listen, I will tell you this. It says it's sown in dishonor. It's buried in dishonor. And I don't care. I worked at a funeral home, and you know you try to make people look good. Some, you know, it's amazing. Your relatives want you to make them look better than they did when they were alive. I want you to fix daddy up. Fix him up real good. Well, he wasn't fixed up when he, no. Let me be quiet. But they want you to make them really look real. A hot question, really, truthfully. How do you make a dead person? You know, you try your best. And you know, and being very sensitive, you want them to look good. Yeah, because you know that's the last time. It's the last time that you're gonna see them. And physically, it is. Yeah, you want them to look good. The scriptures say it's sown in dishonor. And you try to dress them up and you put them, and you know, they have put a wig on them and make their face up. But it is, and the scriptures say, but it'll be raised in honor. Glory. It's sown in dishonor. In dishonor, I don't care what you do to them, it doesn't do, but we know our new bodies will be honorable bodies. They will be incorruptible. Notice that we all gonna look good. Yeah. Nobody not gonna say that's ugly. Nobody's gonna say that's fat. You don't have your bald headed. It's raised in glory. And I close my eyes. I'm just, ooh, how? What kind of body? Then I say, just be quiet. Just Lord, give me what you want to give me. Okay, what kind of body it is? It's a spiritual body. Lord have mercy. Well, look, I spent too much. Oh, Lord have mercy. That was just point number two. Let me go point number two. Back to Thessalonians. Now go 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm still in verse 13. About those who are asleep. So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Paul admonishes that we should not sorrow. He says, even as, or to the extent as the rest who have no hope. So it's not that we won't cry. It's not that we won't cry. I hope I do enough in this life to somebody cry over me. I mean, don't we? Yeah. You don't turn the casket over, and you know, don't come up here faking like you like me. And you know, you never even. Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. I experienced. When I was in the funeral business, boy, please don't tell nobody this. But you know, funeral home people are strange, kind of strange. And I'm not anymore. But you'd be surprised what they talk about after the funeral is over with. And you know, they say things like, "Did you see her?" And then, you know, see, and when you talk to the family will point out who's faking. They'll say, she was doing all that because she ain't had nothing to do with it. That's why she clowning like that. That's not funny. But if you live a life, if you live the kind of life that nobody cry, some of us, it's a shame that I know nobody's in here like this, but some people be kind of glad when people die. Yeah, you know, so-and-so died. Oh, he did? Oh, wow. See, that's why these are Paul. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. He said, I'm not telling you not to cry, but not to the extent as the rest. See, the rest, remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, to the church, to the saints, to the disciples, to the Christians. You know, it's all right to cry. Lord, have mercy. I know, well, you know, if my child, if my son, if my daughter, if my uncle, if my mother, if my father died, you've spent a lifetime with them. They've done things, and you know, you can't tell all the things that people have done. And some of us, Lord, you know, there's some people you lose. How do you feel that void? Notice, how many, raise your hand if you never lost, if your mother is still living. Raise your hand if your mother's still living. Now notice it. Now you need to say, praise the Lord. Now put your hands down. Raise your hand if your mother has passed away. Look in here. Now notice this. But put your hands down. Now, if you haven't lost your mother, you don't know how these people feel. I don't care what you say. And even me bringing it up right now brings. That's why we all need to be in the Lord. Because we cry, but not as the rest. You see, you know, you think about your mama and she's a child of God. And you think about some things that she taught you, that she did, that she prayed. You know she's praying for your heart itself. And labor, and you know, and the mamas have a way of talking too much, you know. My mamas just preach to you. And you say, ooh, you're just getting on my nerve. But then now they're gone. You say, oh, Lord, I wish I could just hear mama. you want to hear some of those words. Go on and cry if you need to cry. But it says, not as the rest. Notice this. Who have hope. Is the power tool of Christians. Yeah, yeah. And that's one thing that God has given us. And it's not blind hope. It's not vain hope. It's not uninformed. It's the kind of hope that we know that God is going to deliver on his promise. And Paul, he writes to the Thessalonians. They were concerned about it then. We're concerned about it now. And Paul understood emotions in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 27. This is what Paul said about one of his friends. He said, for indeed he was sick. He's talking about Epaphroditus. He said, for indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. See, so you as Christian, we can have emotions. We can love people too. Down to the bone, we don't want to lose them. Paul says, if Epaphroditus died, Lord, it would ache me. But also Paul wrote to not cry as those who have no hope. See, what we really are crying about when somebody dies is what they used to do for us. We're going to miss them. How are we going to make it without them? Notice this. If somebody dies in the Lord, guess what? If they are die in a right relationship with God, they don't want to come back and help you. Amen, somebody. Because you probably want them. Well, I better not say that. But some of us, we send people to. Yeah. if we just crying because we missed him. But if somebody is sick, DeWitt, if somebody is sick and they're suffering, they're in the hospitals. Notice this, and I'm right with God. You know what? If I'm in the hospital, Lord, I hope I still have this right mindset. Said, baby, say this CD and play it if I die. If I'm in the hospital and I know I'm going that way, and you don't know when you're going that way, you know how the doctors, they don't know everything. But if it's looking bad and I can't move read the Bible to me. Sing some songs. Everybody, y'all whole church can't come to the hospital. But some of you can. Sing some songs of Zion. Yeah. Cry if you must cry. Read the Bible to me. But if I listen, but don't. Lord have mercy, don't keep me around here. Amen. Hanging on and I don't know I'm here. All they doing is sticking medicine, and then you have to come up here, and you have to come for 5 months and pay all them parking fees. Save some of that money. Now listen, okay, you shouldn't be. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. Yeah, save my they don't need to come parking up there. Just listen. Don't kill me now. Yeah. Lord, notice this. Why, Brother Gary? Because if I'm right with God. Now notice this. Can a heathen say that? That's why our young people don't know Rock Hudson. He died of AIDS. Rock Hudson had all that money. And before he died, they say they were flying him all around the country, trying to find cures and trying to, because he had all of that money, but he still died. No. I know my wife, she don't have all that money to be flying all over the country. Baby, just pray for me. Bring the elders up there, let them pray for me. And if I got my sense and I can say, I'll ask them if they can hear me and I got something in my life that's wrong, I'm going to say, Lord, pray for me. Lord, please forgive me of all of my sins. Well, girl, you would say that in the hospital bed? Yes. You shouldn't have to say that. You the preacher. Don't you worry about me. Ooh, I gotta stop. I'm trying to do better with time. What did I get? 2 points. I gotta stop. God is good. You're here this morning, and you're not a child of God. You need to be. You need to be. You need to be. Because you don't have the power without being a child of God. You come to the Lord by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. If you're here today and you need to repent of your sins, but I tell your neighbor, except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. If you're here today, you need to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 10:32. If you're here today, you need to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned, Mark 16:16. Then God will add you to his body, that church we read about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 1. It's called the church of God, the kingdom of God, kingdom of his dear son, the body of Christ, the churches of Christ, Romans 16:16. The only church you can read about in the Bible, he adds us to his family. We're all in one family together. The Bible would say the judgment will begin in the house of God. When God comes, he's starting with his children. It begins with us. If it begins with us, what do you think going to happen to the rest? So we invite you. That invitation is yours. Jesus says, whosoever will, let him come. But God don't twist our arms. God don't twist our arms. I will say this to you. If I'm living when you die, and your funeral is here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and I have to preach your funeral, I'm not going to preach you into heaven. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to preach a sermon, but I just won't say anything about it because that's God's business. But it's a beautiful thing when somebody dies in the Lord. It's a different kind of funeral. It is. It's a different feeling. You cry, but just like, okay, well, you cry, but thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're here today and you want to be added to the body, you can come. If you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you, pray with you. If there's something you want to get right in your life, we can pray that God will forgive you this morning. Come as we stand and sing the song.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?